Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Here we go. Hurts. As all day. Now some rushers come. Going to throw it as far as his arm can take it, which is well short. And the Kansas City Chiefs have won Super Bowl 57.
Fox on the call. That was 2 years ago. Super Bowl 57. Kevin Burkhart there as the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Philadelphia Eagles 38-35 as they add another Lombardi Trophy to their resume. That game played at Glendale. Philly was favored by 1.5. Now the spread is flipped. It's Kansas City here. Like 2 years ago, Patrick Mahomes got hurt in that Jacksonville game in the divisional round.
Yeah.
Like really significant.
Was it high ankle?
The
was
knee,
it the
high- ankle, whatever it was. He was limping all over the field.
Yeah.
Last year, they went on the road, basically. They had to win at Buffalo, win at Baltimore, and then won it again. This year, they're the number one team, and everything had to go through Arrowhead Stadium. But the Eagles, they weren't the number one seed. It was Detroit. And as we go back to the end of the regular season, Detroit and Minnesota played for the chance to be the number one seed. And the Lions destroyed the Vikings. Minnesota fell to a 5. They were dismissed early in the playoffs. And then the Lions were dismissed in the divisional round. So within 2 short weeks, those two teams went from playing for the number one seed to not even being eligible to get to the Super Bowl. But yet, here's Philadelphia. And they had that long winning streak. Hurts got banged up. A.J. Brown started beeping about his role or whatever it was, reading books on sidelines or whatnot. But yet, here they are 60 minutes away from winning a championship. 2 years ago, oh so close. The lose 38-35 on a last-second field goal sucks. But here they are with a chance at redemption.
I think Jalen Hurts was much better back then than he is now. You know, I think, you know, I mean, he threw the ball better, he moved better. You know, and he's been banged up a little bit. Kansas City, are they better than they were then? I don't know. Yeah, it... Could this be another high-scoring game? I think the defenses are pretty good. So I don't think it's going to be that high of a scoring game. I can see, you know, low 20s maybe at the max just because he's defense and you got two great D coordinators. I mean, you got a lot of great coaches in this game.
Now, how things have changed for the Eagles in those 2 years. By the way, that season, Jalen Hurts, 15 games, 67.5 completion, 3,700 yards, 22 touchdowns, 6 picks. Quarterback rating, 101.5, was sacked 38 times. And he also rushed for 760 yards and 13 TDs. So he accounted for some stuff. Their leading rusher that year, just 2 years ago, Miles Sanders, 1,269 yards with 11 TDs, and then they had A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. They both had monster seasons. Dallas Goedert, you know, as we know, their big tight end is a playmaker himself. So it's the same, but a lot different especially with all due respect to Miles Sanders, by the way.
Yeah.
And that's a good year. You'll take that 1,200 and 11 TDs, 5 yard pop. Saquon Barkley's a next level.
No doubt.
Awesomeness.
No doubt. I mean, that's why they're where they're at. And that's why they've run the ball more than anybody in the league. So, yeah, they're a different football team. They're not throwing the ball as much. They've made their quarterback a point guard. That's why the receivers are bitching and complaining, you know. But this is all about Saquon Barkley. And in that game, when you were Spags, all right, what's the thing we got to stop? We got to stop their receivers. All right, now 2 years later, what do we got to stop? Well, Saquon Barkley, we got to stop. Otherwise, we got no shot of winning this game.
Now, Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago. 17 games played, 67.1 completion percentage, 5,200 yards, 41 touchdowns, 12 picks, quarterback rating 105.2. Leading rusher Isaiah Pacheco, rookie at that time, 830 yards. And then Mahomes was their second leading rusher ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Since then, Helaire no longer part of the equation there. But Kareem Hunt is back and, you know, might not be the dynamic guy he was, say, early in his career when Mahomes and that team was first starting to come together. But he gets in that end zone for sure.
Yeah.
And Pacheco.
Pacheco hadn't. He's hurt a lot this year. Their O-line's not great run blockers is the biggest part of the problem. You know, I mean, their offense each year, like, ticks down a little bit, you know, and you figure, how do they win all these games? I mean, it's like, all right, let's just keep it close and Patrick will win it at the end. I mean, that's kind of what happens in a lot of their games because he's not even close to throwing the numbers that he had then that you just read off, Bob. Ain't even close to what it is now.
Yeah, he was MVP that year.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts finished second. Josh Allen finished third, by the way, in the voting that year, and that was a Lamar was hurt season for Baltimore. Did make the playoffs, lost to Cincinnati. Yeah.
But the first 7 weeks, Lamar was the dude for the MVP.
Yeah, and then he got hurt, yep. And then when he did play, he was kind of tailing off a little bit. But that's the top two MVP voters this year. It's going to be Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. Neither, if you're a fan of either team, better not play it. As Kansas City, you know, took care of Buffalo, and the Buffalo took care of Baltimore. But, you know, I'm guessing once we get closer to kickoff and we'll start to build up, you'll be doing the film and the breakdown of the two teams as we get closer to it. But I got to admit, other than possibly winning some dough.
Right.
And as a football fan, I'm interested, you know what I mean? But now I can't wait to see it sort of thing. It's not. You know what I mean? It's not resonating that much with me today.
Yeah, me, like, the only reason, like, both my kids that go to Penn, like, all their friends at Penn State, all Eagle, you know, so, I mean, they're watching the Eagles every playoff game, talking Eagle, you know, all that kind of stuff, but I'm kind of with you. I don't really care who wins, Bob, to be totally honest, and I just want a good game. I want a competitive game. If you know, I don't want to blow out at the half because then I'm flipping the stations, you know. So I just want to watch a good game. That's what I want to watch. And, you know, maybe do you like watching the commercials and stuff?
I mean, I follow along.
Yeah. How about halftime?
Not really.
Too long.
Yeah. I'm a sandwich, bathroom.
Yeah.
Internet, see what else is happening.
You have a lot of, like my wife says, you know, should you want to have people over?
Nah, we're not.
Yeah.
We used to go to parties and throw a little. If somebody comes over, it'd only be maybe my sister and my brother-in-law, and because you got to work the next day.
Right.
So you can't do it all up full on. But we'll just sit there, watch the game, enjoy. And recent history, of course, has said it's probably going to be a good game.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of blowouts. Like, there was a run of Super Bowls where they were thumpages every year. And it was a snooze fest. Like, when San Francisco played the Chargers.
Yeah.
We were watching Beavis and Butthead at halftime of the game, getting ready to laugh. and then turn it back on, and then the game even got more ridiculous.
No doubt.
So, you know, now the games are competitive. Halftime does take forever, but we'll get into our prop bets because, again, once we get close to Friday and the chance of winning money and then starting to listen to the teams talk, I don't foresee any drama. You know what I mean? There's no storyline with either team.
No.
That's going to become the big talking point. It's probably just going to be football only. And the big deal is that they're trying to win the Chiefs 3 straight Super Bowls. It's never been done before.
And
as Jason Cole just said, to him, greatest accomplishment in team sports history.
And Saturday, what'll be cool about, well, I guess Thursday, Bob Webler, with the Hall of Fame, especially if Suggs make it, we'll be able to talk about that on Friday.
Two finalists.
Yep. So that'll be pretty cool. So there's some cool stuff, you know, happening.
But yeah, it is the Super Bowl. It's the championship game, and the Ravens aren't in it, which is frustrating for a lot of people. And I know a lot of our football fans tap out once Baltimore's season comes to an end. So that being said, interest level in Super Bowl 59, which you can hear on 105.7 The Fan, at least today, because it is early in the week and you got plenty of time. Get yourself lathered up for that. We'll discuss. Orioles are 9 days away from pitchers and catchers. Vegas thinks they're going to win close to 90 games. We have Mike Bordick on. I think they're going to be good. Bordick thinks they're going to be good. How good, that remains to be seen. Tony Pauline will talk about the NFL draft. Ravens picking late in the 20s as usual. Have a couple of holes to fill, and based on recent draft history, they probably do a good job doing it.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Somewhere, as you would expect, the mock drafts are starting to flow freely. And for instance, we talked about this earlier, Matt Miller from ESPN.com, colleague of Mel Kiper's, has Abdul Carter going number one to the Tennessee Titans, Travis Hunter 2 to the Cleveland Browns, Cam Ward out of Miami 3 to the Giants, Mason Graham, defensive lineman, Michigan going to New England, and then Will Johnson, also out of Michigan, going number 5 cornerback to Jacksonville. If you're wondering, and I'm sure you are, were the Ravens at 27 go Jonah Savalianea, offensive tackle slash guard out of Arizona. Also could possibly go wide receiver here.
Whoa.
It says.
Really?
Because you've got Bateman, you've got Zay.
Yeah.
And everyone else is a free agent here.
I don't see wide receiver would shock me if they took. I mean, is there, Bob, is there like 24 to, is there a pass rusher in there that goes like right before them or anything?
But looking at if it's a thumbnail, if Stanley signs, then maybe this pick changes. No longer because.
Well, I think Stanley's gone. Then they'll need a right tackle.
James Pierce goes 29 edge rusher out of Washington, or to Washington out of Tennessee.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, a guy from CBS had him number one on his board.
So that would be, I don't know, if he's number one on a board and he's fallen to the late first round, there's got to be something going on there. And we'll talk to that about that topic here with Tony Pauline. Ashton Jeanty, by the way, goes to the Chargers at 22.
Ooh, that'd be a great
as
pick.
As J.K. Dobbins hits free agency here for them.
I don't think he'll last that long, Bob, be totally honest.
So has this whole with Henry and Barkley. Keep in mind, they're probably outliers. We're talking two Hall of Fame-level guys. But we're running backs. We're so-called, I mean, Gibbs was a top pick for Detroit. He's been a stud. Mm-hmm. Bijan Robinson for Atlanta. So this whole running back's been devalued thing, and there was a lot of free agent movement with running backs last year. Has that kind of become a thing of the past? Are they now appreciated more based on, say, where they were 5-10 years ago?
I would say absolutely. Look at Cook. Look at what Cook's done for Buffalo. And when you hear coaches talk and you hear people talk and you talk about, you know, run game is the most important, I mean, but then you go, well, let's look at the Super Bowl. Kansas City doesn't run the ball, hardly.
Not as well as Philly does.
No, Philly's number two. Ravens are number one. So I think we'll start to see if there's that elite running back. I think we'll see more guys going earlier that, you know, this year.
And speaking of wide receivers, and again, we'll talk more about this with Tony Pauline in a couple of minutes. Second round, because it's a 2-round mock draft at 59er. Ravens will take Jalen Royals, wide receiver out of Utah State, 6 feet, 205. 55 catches, 834. 6 TDs, 15.2 per reception last season.
I kind of see the Ravens, Bob, going defense early. That would be my thought process is, you know, you're going defense because you need, you know, you could use a safety, you could use a pass rusher. You know, I mean, if there's a lot of good pass rushers early on, I would not be shocked. I mean, Bob, because Van Oy's old, Oway's on his fifth year, Ajabo's bad, Adisa Isaac, we don't know. So a need for a pass rusher, if not this year, Bob, and you don't re-sign Oway, you need a couple. So, I mean, to me, this is kind of like when the Ravens, you know, like they did when Patrick Queen, they drafted Simpson. I see them drafting a pass rusher somewhere in the top three rounds.
Now, if you're just tuning in, speaking of pass rushers, Myles Garrett has officially requested a trade from Cleveland. And we talked with Jason Cole about this about an hour ago. And he thinks that everyone should get in line, at least inquire about the possibilities of adding one of the premier defenders in the NFL. And you mentioned to Jason, and he kind of disagreed that Cleveland probably wouldn't trade him within the division to the Ravens. But as Jason pointed out too, Vinny, and he made a good point, hey, they suck. What do they care? You're not catching. I mean, they beat the Ravens every year for some inexplicable reason. But in regards to pushing for division supremacy and getting to levels in playoffs, they're not close to Baltimore yet. So why not see if you can stockpile some picks? But it's not like the Ravens have a bunch of top five picks laying around either.
No.
Well, and their cap situation, I don't think is all that great.
Well, CBS Sports, Bob, they just did logical landing spots. They got Detroit, who they've got $47 million in cap space in the offseason. Washington, they got $78 million. And do they need a pass rusher?
Sure.
I mean, that would be an ideal situation. Vegas, they have $92 million in cap space. Cincinnati, well, they won't. Yeah, New England, I can't see them trading them to Cincinnati. I mean, they make Cincinnati really good. So those are, but Washington makes a ton of sense. Washington, Detroit, NFC, you know, I could see either one of those definitely happening.
As the Cleveland Browns continue this perpetual rebuild and trying to, you know, get themselves into the playoffs and deep into the playoffs, which they haven't done in a long, long time. Myles Garrett wants out, and just to paraphrase his statement a little bit, loves Cleveland. It's his home. He wants to win, and he doesn't feel as though that's happening anytime soon with the Browns.
No, and he had the meeting with them right after the season or whatever, and he wanted to hear what the plan was, and, you know, like Jason said, he must not have liked what he heard.
Right. We'll talk about the Senior Bowl with Tony Pauline, also the upcoming draft, what strengths, weaknesses of said draft. If you need a quarterback, do you have to reach, or can you be more prudent? Maybe look at some veteran free agent types who could be available, Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold's coming off a brought back to reality last couple of weeks, but did he do enough over the course of the majority of the season to entice teams to take a risk on him, paying him some dough? We'll see. Talk to Tony about that. How the Maryland dudes do at the Senior Bowl. Ty Felton scored a touchdown, which he kind of did a lot in 2024. Top 25 rankings are coming out here. We're expecting that Maryland will be ranked in said top 25, and we'll talk to Kevin Willard tomorrow about that and the upcoming matchup with Ohio State later in the week. And the Orioles, like everybody else in Major League Baseball, it's either Grapefruit or Cactus League, pitchers and catchers next week. Yeah, that's here. He's with SportsKita.com, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Let's welcome back to the show. It's always fun. You know, the year's flying by when we're starting to talk about the Senior Bowl and the draft. But here he is. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Tony Pauline. Tony, what is happening?
Well, what's happening is in 2 days, since you mentioned Led Zeppelin, I'll be going to the premiere of the film, the documentary, Becoming Led Zeppelin. So that's a nice Shrine Bowl, Senior Bowl trip. I'm looking forward to that.
And rightfully so. Coda, yes or no, real quick, because I know we're here to talk football. Acceptable from a Zeppelin catalog point of view, even though it was basically stuff that didn't make regular albums.
I liked it, but real quick, it was a difficult album for me because I was in college when it came out, and I still bought albums back then, and I opened up the album, looked at the inlet, saw all the great pictures, and it was at that specific moment I realized that it was over for Led Zeppelin. So while I liked the songs, the album itself was a little bit difficult.
All right, Tony, let's get to the Senior Bowl, and real quick, we'll start with the Maryland guys. Ty Felton had a touchdown there. You know, the lineage of Maryland receivers, not to the level of Ohio State, but they've got some dudes making paychecks in the NFL. How much did Ty Felton help himself this past weekend?
Yeah, I think he's one of the most underrated receivers moving towards the draft. He's got good size. He's got underrated speed. You know, he's a big-bodied guy that can run. And, you know, you mentioned that the touchdown reception during the game, he had 3 good days of practice. I mean, he was beating people left and right. So I think that Ty Felton, I liked him before the Senior Bowl even began. I think he leaves the Senior Bowl with improved draft grades.
Hey, Tony, what about the kicker? Since the Ravens are probably going to be in the market for a kicker now, what did you think of the kickers at the Senior Bowl?
Truth be told, I don't really watch the kickers too much until we get close to the draft. I will tell you this. The only time I really take notice of a kicker or a punter at the Senior Bowl or Shrine Bowl is if one guy just knocks my socks off. And I'll tell you, no kicker really knocked my socks off at either event.
All right, so during the Senior Bowl drills and stuff, who knocked your socks off?
There were a lot of good offensive linemen. There were some good edge rushers. I thought Oluwafemi Oladeju of UCLA was just incredible. A guy who played middle linebacker in 2023, was moved to the edge at UCLA last year, had a good season. I mean, he won every single day on the edge. They stuck him on the inside, standing over a guard. And he wasn't just an edge rusher. He showed terrific hand use, a variety of moves, continually beat people. And I got to spend some time with him, and he is a very impressive person, very impressive character, a guy. I thought David Walker of Central Arkansas, funky body, barely 6 foot, 1.5 inch, 265 pounds, comes from Central Arkansas, Division II school, and he was beating everybody. I mean, he was beating top competition as a pass rusher. Good day three pick. Mike Green also played well, the edge rusher from Marshall, and some of the small school interior offensive linemen, Gray Zabel of North Dakota State, Jackson Slater of Sacramento State, also really stood out.
All right, Tony, let's talk, you know, overall about the draft. The deepest positions in your mind are what?
I like the defensive tackle class. The running back class is really exceptional. There's a lot of solid edge rushers in this year's draft.
Now, like, will there be a pass rusher at 27 for the Ravens?
I mean, there probably should be. I think this is the sort of draft in the sense that it's not really strong at the top. So what you're going to have is you're going to have about 18 to 20 guys that have true first-round grades. And what that means is when you get into the bottom third of round one, there could be some surprises. Now, Nick Scowerton of Texas A&M, a guy I like a lot, could be there for them. Mike Green could be there for the Ravens. So there is a chance that there could be a good pass rusher there available to them when they're called to the clock.
Tony, how could Myles Garrett trade affect the top of the draft?
Well, it depends on who he goes to. I mean, obviously, if a team is willing to surrender what it takes to get him, you're going to have Cleveland that will have two first-round picks. I think it'll affect the top of the draft that if Cleveland gets rid of him, now all of a sudden Abdul Carter with that pick becomes a lot more appealing and possibly more of a need. So Abdul Carter, if he doesn't go to Carolina with the first pick, which I don't think it's going to happen right now, may go to Cleveland with the second selection.
What about Tennessee? Tennessee has one.
I'm sorry. Tennessee. Tennessee doesn't take him at one, which I don't. I apologize. Tennessee doesn't take him at one, which as of right now, I don't think they do because I think they take a quarterback. But I think Cleveland, he's in the market with Cleveland. I think he's in the conversation for Cleveland regardless. But if they trade Myles Garrett, I think it leans more heavily towards Cleveland taking him.
All right, what did you think of the quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl, and what do you think of the quarterbacks in the draft, and how many should go in the first round?
Yeah, the quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl were not impressive. I mean, Jalen Milroe of Alabama, who's been a favorite of mine, it just very uninspired, lacked confidence. I mean, he's the most physically impressive quarterback in this draft, yet he never threw the ball downfield. Jackson Dart of Mississippi did not show a deep arm. He's got it going on between the ears. He's exceptional in the short mid-range passing game. He's a good timing passer, but you're going to lose a lot with the vertical game if you draft him. Really, the best quarterback at the Senior Bowl was Dillon Gabriel of Oregon, who was accurate. He showed great timing with receivers who we barely knew for 24 hours, really right out of the gate. As far as overall, I mean, I like Cam Ward a lot. Cam Ward's ascension to the top of the draft kind of mirrors what we saw with Jaden Daniels a year ago, and I think that's important. Shedeur Sanders, I like him as well. He's got a lot of talent. I think both Ward and Shedeur Sanders sometimes try and do too much, hold the ball a little bit too long, sometimes get a little too cute for themselves. Regardless, they're going to be off the board very early in the draft, either by teams who are selecting at the top or maybe a team like the Raiders who trade up to get them.
SportsKita.com brings us Tony Pauline, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Tony, last thing for you. Quinn Ewers, aside from being a pitch man and a pretty talented one at that for Dr. Pepper, stock is where right now based on, for instance, where it was, say, start of September?
I think he's a second-round prospect who will likely go up, who will likely be selected at the end of round one because he is a quarterback and quarterbacks are overdrafted. Whether it's a team late in the first round who may need a quarterback or a team in the early part of second round who wants to trade up to get the quarterback. I mean, Ewers, in my opinion, just never really matched the expectations I had of him. You remember that first game he played as a freshman against Alabama when he broke his collarbone? You were like, wow, you know, the sky's the limit for this guy. Never really, never met those expectations, but he can get the ball down the field. You know, he's done a solid job at Texas, and he plays the quarterback position.
Tony Pauline, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline, sportskita.com. Tony, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll catch up with you multiple times, I'm sure, before the draft coming up here in a couple of months.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
There he is, Tony Pauline, big Led Zeppelin fan. When we come back, top 25 men is out. Is Maryland in it? Stick around. We'll tell you in a couple of minutes. And then a fun house trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, takes over at 2 o'clock. Maryland ranked number 18. Big Ten representation is certainly there. The highest ranked Big Ten team is Purdue, coming in at number 7. At this point, number 1, still Auburn. Duke is number 2, coming off the win against Carolina. Alabama, Tennessee, and the Houston Cougars. And then Florida. So you talk, Michigan State's coming in at number 9, by the way. But look at the Big Ten, or the SEC, rather. Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida, Texas A&M.
Oof.
Top 10?
Yeah.
All in the top 10. So the back end of the 25 changes a lot. Mississippi State and Ole Miss are in the top 25, too. So.
And it used to be SEC, I guess, NIL.
Yeah, I mean, they were football. I mean, Kentucky's always been good.
And, right.
You know, Arkansas had their run of awesomeness there with Nolan Richardson, for sure. Going back to they were in the Southwest Conference with Eddie Sutton. But you get the point. So Maryland is ranked. We will have Kevin Willard on tomorrow to talk about his team ahead of that matchup coming up Thursday at Ohio State. So Terps are percolating at the right time of the year. They're finding chemistry. They're playing good defense for the most part. And, you know, Jacoby Gillespie's been outstanding. Julian Reese has been outstanding. Queens, you know, got his moments of brilliance as he was Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Yeah. So Terps playing good ball, a lot better than they were last year. Remember last year, they couldn't throw the ball in the ocean if they were standing on a pier. This year, they're actually one of the more explosive offenses in men's college basketball. So there you go. Super Bowl week continues on tomorrow. Turn it up Tuesday. We'll actually have stuff as Media Day is coming on today. But as we talked about earlier, Nolan, before we get to the funhouse, there's no, like, drama here. It's just two teams going about their business. No one's talking a lot of trash. No Hollywood Henderson talking about how dumb Terry Bradshaw is.
We'll see tonight if anybody.
But so far, it's ELE. Everybody love everybody.
If it was going to happen, you'd probably expect it from the Philly side of things. But even then, they were just here 2 years ago. A lot of the same guys. Same head coach at the top. And say what you want about Sirianni, but I'm sure he learned a lot of lessons from when they were in the game 2 years ago, that he's going to change, you know, all right, we're changing our schedule, our preparation, you know, how we handle the media, how we talk to the media and all that stuff. So big learning experience a couple of years ago.
And I'm guessing that the Chiefs anyway will get at least a couple. Do you guys get preferential treatment from the referee sort of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Which could set somebody off.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a good question. I mean, nobody wants to hear him talk about the usual stuff anymore. And they probably don't want to answer it anymore. Like I keep saying, they've been here 3 years in a row. They're sick of it.
Okay.
This is an obligation for them tonight. I mean, it's not even fun.
You got to do what you got to do. All right, Nolan, let's go to that fun house, which you love doing, by the way.
Quick Draws Fun House. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First text here on the Pro Bowl. Texter says, I watched the Pro Bowl for all of about 5 minutes yesterday because that's all I could take. I know it's impossible to play this physical game in a relaxed format, but they should just get rid of it altogether. Even the skills competitions are weak compared to other sports like the NBA.
I think the TV ratings are good enough where they make money, and that's the only reason that it continues.
I mean, because they do get in financial incentives for making Pro Bowls. So, I mean, it is, you know, a way to celebrate, bring your kids down there and, you know, get all the attaboys to go along with it.
But in reality, because, like, when they used to go to Hawaii where players wanted to go, you take your families and it's a vacation, you lose money. Mm-hmm. As a player, you lose money. But nowadays, going to Orlando, well, look at all the guys that pull out. You know, like most of the star guys, they don't want to go. I mean, going to Florida, so what? It was probably cold.
Yeah, the Pro Bowl used to be at 9 o'clock on a Monday night, like covered by the Monday Night Football crew. That's how kind of a big deal it was, and they actually tried in those games.
Right. We put it like this. It'd be a long shot for me to watch the Pro Bowl if Lamar Jackson was throwing a touchdown pass to Zay Flowers in it. It's impossible for me to watch if it's Drake May throwing to whoever the hell is out
there. Jamar Chase.
He threw a pick six.
Right. In a flag game. Well, yeah. There's no defense. Why even have the defense out there?
Oh, I just watched some of the highlights that they were showing up there. I mean, nobody, they're not even trying in that stuff.
What do the linemen do? You're a Pro Bowl lineman. What do you?
No.
You do nothing all weekend.
They drink a lot.
Put your hands behind your back and fall in front of somebody.
All right, this texter here talking about the Orioles offseason says, Orioles just way too passive this offseason. Don't necessarily have a problem with the moves they made individually, but you have to consider it a disappointment when you look at all of them together, especially for a team trying to win the World Series. Bullpen may be the most confusing to me. Bautista, we learned over the weekend that he's going to have to ramp up. Plus, you know, more bad injury news is coming on the first day of pitchers and catchers.
Yeah, 2 years in a row, Elias, his first meeting with the media is usually talking about guys missing the first couple of weeks of spring training, if not the regular season. Here's what you have to look forward to, I think, after this year. And hopefully a lot of wins this year. A lot of players on expiring deals. Mm-hmm. So just by expiring contracts alone. You're going to have to fill a roster. So maybe next season you explore the Gunner and the Adley extensions and all of that fun stuff and start ramping up the big price tag for insert free agent here that fills a need. But on paper, they're still a good team, if not a really good team.
And the texter is right about the injuries. When Elias spoke at the caravan events over the weekend, he was asked, hey, any injury stuff we should know about right now heading into spring? And he kind of misspoke a little bit. He said, not yet, or something. That I'm not, basically say I'm not revealing it now, but kind of what we all feared. There's going to be something day one.
Yeah,
it's just a
last
matter
year's like Bradish had the PRP with a UCL. I mean, what the hell is he talking about? And we all know how that turned out. Colton Cowser did say multiple times he's fine. Remember, he got plunked striking out, unfortunately, in the playoffs by the Royals last year.
Mateo, another one to maybe keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, that one might be more of a time consumer there.
And one last one here talking about the Ravens and some of the news of the day here. Texter says, Ravens should absolutely be all in on Myles Garrett. What would it take from the Ravens to get him? Where does that conversation start? And you guys talked about this a little bit earlier, but Brown's willingness to trade within the division.
Well, I mean, it would... For the Ravens, you know, because you're picking 20, so you're picking late all the time, you got to give even more. I would want a player, you know, I would want like a Kyle Hamilton, somebody like
Whoa, we're getting crazy over here.
Well, you're talking
Nico
about
Harrison over here.
You think they'll take Oway?
No, you sound like
a fan.
Better.
Let's give him a job.
Yeah,
Marcus Williams,
Simpson,
yeah, and Poe. That'll get it done. But if just tuning in, Miles Garrett once out of Cleveland, even put a statement out and everything to prove it. We'll be back tomorrow. Turn it up Tuesday. Talk to our Kevins, Allstriker, and Willard, and everything else happening in the world of sports media day, media nights tonight in Super Bowl land down in New Orleans. For Nolan McGraw and Michael, who will meet us the week goes on, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Cook up a special dinner with USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, bone-in for $7.99 per pound. And for that special someone on Valentine's Day, Debbie Lilly Design Dozen Roses for $24.99. Large pack of 2-pound strawberries or 18-ounce blueberries, $4.99 each. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.